Jeff, just to clarify, when you're talking about desire, just in general, it's not so much you're saying like the desire itself is the problem, but it's like the latching on and identifying with, which is more what we are trying to eliminate.
It gets tricky into how you're using the word desire, you know? And certainly the clinging or holding on to it is a step further. You know, the grasping is a step further in the process of leading towards the experience of suffering. If you're referring to desire as just the experience of liking something pleasurable, liking a pleasurable experience, like I eat this piece of food that, you know, that tastes good, and the natural kind of response is to like that, you know. But then if it gives rise to what is sometimes translated as desire, tanha is the this is where sometimes I think using the Pali words is better, then you've kind of stepped over the line into the process of movement towards attachment, becoming, suffering. So there's a real fine experienceable distinction between experiencing and liking something that's a pleasant feeling and then letting it ignite the underlying tendency towards desire, which is more of an uplifting movement of energy and attention towards wanting to get a bit more. And particularly with something like sexual desire, you know, it's a real tricky line. It's a hard line to sometimes discern because it happens very, very fast because the underlying tendency of tanha is there and it's just ready to pick up an experiencing, you know, a pleasurable experience and move with it. So, you know, you can't say desire is wrong because desire happens, you know, it's part of what we experience. But the actual tanha desire, that, you know, that level of the uplifting and movement on that sense of wanting or craving is kind of like the beginning thrust of the mind moving towards attachment, suffering, attachment, birth, suffering. It's pretty subtle.
And so on like a basic level, there will always be like some form of desire, but it depends on like...
Until we eliminate it from our mind. Tanha is eliminatable. We are able to completely let go of tanha craving. So that the desire for more, that uplifting quality of the mind moving towards wanting something, that can be eliminated. And that's where freedom starts.
For myself, seeing the difference between like tanha and the natural tendency to like say, take food.
Mm.
You're hungry and you take food, but then what's the difference between just taking food because you're hungry and then taking food because there's tanha?
Right.
Well, to bring the meal time, if you want to take like one scoop of carrots and then like five pieces of a cheesecake, then clearly
there's a clue there.
and then the reasonable amount of carrots is what's natural and normal, and there's no tanha there.
Right.
So then you can look at the mind and see what the feeling is that makes you want to take the cheesecake or something else, and then you can sort of hone in on that, and then oh, that has tanha.
Yeah, that's a very good example of the experiencing of the desire in relation to that. It's also, you can, just for people who feel like they've overcome that, you can have an incredibly strong basis of tanha in the carrots, choosing the carrots too, you know, thinking, oh, well, this is what's good for me, this is what my body needs, this is, you know, an appropriate food, you know, this is healthy, I need to have this, so I need to have more of those carrots.
Yeah, it opens up a whole Pandora's box of suffering views.
Right, right. It moves beyond the actual physical pleasure to have their own views and opinions.
Ideas.